Well, good morning and happy new year to you. According to most research, around 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. That means millions and millions and millions of people every year say they want to grow in some area of life, besides their waistline, of course. Yet statistics show that only 8% of these people actually keep their resolutions. I personally do not make New Year's resolutions in the formal sense, but I do think that times like New Year's can be a great time of year to sit down and to evaluate our lives and to set goals so that we can become more like Christ. If a person professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, their life resolution and number one priority in life is to know God better, to love Him more, and to grow more like Him. And the primary means for knowing God better, for loving Him more and growing more like Him, is daily reading, studying, meditating upon, praying over, and applying God's Word. Would you please turn with me in God's Word to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now the book of 2 Peter is toward the end of your New Testament, just after 1 Peter and just before 1 John. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. In other words, we are to love God with our entire being, everything that we are. The reason God breathed out every book in the Bible and every word in every book in the Bible is so that we will know Him. And as we get to know Him and how infinitely awesome He is, we will love Him and we will grow more like Him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says that all Scripture, not some of it, not part of it, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible is sufficient for all of life for the believer. For a professing Christian, there is nowhere else to turn for help. The Apostle Peter wrote the God-breathed book of 2 Peter for the very purpose of our knowing Jesus, our loving Jesus, and our growing more like Him. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for revealing Yourself to us through Your precious Word. Father, please, by the power of the Holy Spirit, comfort us and convict us today by Your Holy Spirit working by and with Your Word that we would sincerely know You better, love You more, and grow to be more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen. Missionaries and Bible translators have spent years and years and years working hard to get the Bible to many different people groups in their own language. Believers such as John Huss and William Tyndale gave their very lives so that you and I could have an English Bible. People have been persecuted and have died for not being willing to give up their copy of the Scripture. Do you and I treasure the Word of God that much? If you're a Christian, you know that your purpose in life is to know God better, to love Him more, and to grow more like Him. This is the very purpose for why God saved you, if you are saved. And this is the very purpose for why God has given us His Word. As we look at 2 Peter 3:18 this morning, we must remember that God's goal for us is not just head knowledge, nor is his goal to give us some kind of emotional fix or emotional high. God's goal is that a fire would be set in the heart of every believer that grows through knowing who God is and growing more like him. That's the reason God has given us his word. For us to grow, number one, we must grow in knowledge. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 commands us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So knowledge is required for growth. For us to grow, we must know God better. And where do we go to get this knowledge of Jesus, who is Lord, who is God? Well, last week, Pastor / Cowboy Ethan taught us that Jesus is the theme of the entire scripture, both the Old and the New Testaments. And I have to tell you that Ethan did a great job last week bringing the word to us, but I was so disappointed that he did not preach in his cowboy boots. I'm still not over this. I think he listened to Hannah instead of me. But last week, Ethan used the scripture, John 5:39-40, which says, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them, the scriptures, you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." If we read the Bible and we miss Jesus, we've missed everything. Jesus defined eternal life like this: "And this is eternal life, that you may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent." Jesus said that eternal life is knowing God, not just knowing about God. And eternal life does not start the moment you die if you're a believer. Eternal life starts the moment you cross from spiritual death to spiritual life. Eternal life starts the moment you are born again. Jesus said in John 5:24, "I tell you the truth," and that's all he can tell because he's God. "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has," present possession, "has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has already crossed over from death to life." Jesus says very clearly that those who have believed in him have now eternal life, and they have already crossed from death to life. The point is, we can know God much better in the here and now than we can know any human being. God never changes. God always communicates perfectly. He's always open and transparent. He doesn't walk around with fig leaves like we do, manipulating, deceiving, and covering up. God tells us in his word who he is, what he is like, what he has done, what he is now doing, and what he will do. And we need a daily reminder of who God is and what he is like. According to 2 Peter 3:18, we are commanded to grow continually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to grow continually demands ongoing reading of the scriptures. The Bible is not a book that you read once and then put on the shelf. The Bible is not a book that you run to get a magical verse when you need help. The Bible tells us who God is. It teaches us the amazing attributes of God. We need to hear from God daily through his word. Jesus said, "Eternal life is knowing God." If you have eternal life, you can know God better now. So how do we get to know God better? How do we get to know anybody better? To develop a healthy relationship, we must spend time with people, and we must communicate well. How healthy do you think a marriage is where husband and wife don't communicate on a daily basis, at least in some fashion? It's not very healthy. God speaks to us through his written word, A healthy relationship with God must include daily time in the Word. Someone might say, well, I pray every day, I just don't spend that much time in the Word. And that's good. Prayer is also vital to a healthy relationship with God. Obviously, we should pray every day. But to pray every day without spending time in the Word is like one spouse doing all the talking and the other spouse doing all the listening. It's not healthy. Now, once again, somebody might be thinking, well, God speaks to me in prayer. I'm not saying that God cannot speak to you in prayer. But if what you're hearing does not come from His Word, in context, it's not from God. And besides, you have to check out everything with God's Word anyway. The only way to know for certain that God is objectively speaking to us is through His Word. Everything else is subjective. Not to mention that our very prayers should find their foundation in Scripture to begin with. You know, before I became a Christian, sad to say, but I never read one single book for enjoyment. I didn't become a Christian until I was 28 years of age. In middle school and high school, I used the same 98-page biography of Dr. J, Julius Erving, NBA legend, for all of my book reports. I hated to read. I couldn't stand to read. I thought it was a waste of time. But then something happened. I came to know this man who's not merely a man, but the God-man, the one who is fully God and fully man. And He suffered and died on a cross for my sins and my wretchedness, my wickedness. There isn't anybody who does or can love me like Jesus Christ does. How can I not want to spend time with Him in His Word? How can you not if you know Him? The Bible is the only book in which the author, God Himself, is right there with you, speaking to you. The Word of God is living and active. Since God has revealed Himself to us in Scripture, can there really be any higher daily priority than spending time with God in His Word? Any day that Tony does not spend time with God in His Word is a day that I've set an idol above my relationship with God. So what keeps people from spending time in the Word? Well, we all have 24 hours a day, and it's all in how you slice the pie. And some of us need to do a better job in how we slice the pie. We make time for what we truly treasure. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21 that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does time with God and His Word really matter to us? And if it doesn't, there is something desperately wrong in our relationship with God. When we truly know who God is and what He's done for us in the gospel and how dependent we are upon Him, we will guard our time with God like we would guard the most precious, the most greatest treasure in the world. I want to spend a few moments just walking through Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. This is the NIV. But in verse 7, David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." Everyone's looking for perfection. We're looking for the perfect spouse, the perfect body, the perfect car, the perfect house, the perfect piece of technology, the perfect meal. Only God is perfect, and His Word is perfect. It says it revives the soul. Once again, everybody's looking for someone or something or some place or some five-hour energy drink to revive their soul. God and His Word will revive your soul. Back to verse 7. "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Only God is trustworthy. I'm not always trustworthy. You're not always trustworthy. And you know what? I'm pretty simple. I'm a dumb sheep, and I need God's wisdom every day. Verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." God is always right. He's the only one who's always right. His word gives joy to the heart. Everybody's looking for happiness. God and his word is the only place you will find true and lasting happiness. He goes on to say, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. God is beautiful. He is glorious. He is radiant, and his word is also. And it gives light to the eyes. We walk around in darkness, listening to the lies of our flesh and the world and the devil. This is the only place to find the lamp to walk through life. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord, just another phrase describing the word of God. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Only God and his word are pure. We're not always pure. And the word of God endures forever. He goes on to say, the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. This is the only thing that is always for sure. And you can bank on it. And it's altogether righteous. Verse 10, this is beautiful. They, speaking of the word of God, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Think of all the time and energy that's spent by people to gain more and more and more money and materialistic things. This is more precious than gold. And he goes on to say that it's sweeter than honey from the comb. The word of God tastes better than anything you will ever eat. Feed on it spiritually. And then verse 11, by them, by God's word, is your servant warned. There's great warnings in the book for those who don't know Christ, that if they don't come to know him, they'll be separated from him eternally. And there's warnings to the believer to trust and obey what God has said so that you don't mess up your life and the life of others. He says, in keeping them, the word of God, there is great reward. Nothing is as precious and sweet as God and his word. For us to grow, we must grow in knowledge. And number two, we must grow in grace. Look with me at 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter tells us not only to grow in the knowledge of Christ, he also tells us to grow in the grace of Christ. A relationship with God begins with grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved, if you are saved, through faith. And this isn't of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God's standard is perfection. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's no way we can earn or deserve eternal life. It's a free gift that must be received by faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. When you know that you deserve nothing but God's wrath, and that's what we all deserve, and yet you know God's perfect love through his grace in Christ, you cannot help but love God. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. It's this very grace that leads us to want to love God more and to grow more like him. A relationship with God starts with grace, but it's also sustained by grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been, done deal, have been justified by faith, we have, present possession, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith, get this, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When a person has been saved by grace through faith, they stand always in the grace of God. A born-again Christian is always encompassed, surrounded, dwelt in the grace of God. Knowing that we stand in the grace of God rather than the condemnation of God is what motivates us to run to God when we blow it, to repent, to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and to ask for help to grow in grace again. It is this very grace, once again, that motivates us to want to know God better, to want to love him more, and to want to grow more like him. I need to throw out a word of caution at this time. If you've been listening to this sermon and you're not asleep, and all you've been focusing on is your failure to not be in the Word of God every day, you need to refocus. Sure, you need to run to God. You need to repent. You need to confess your sins for not spending time with him. You need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to ask him for help. But you need to refocus. Your focus does not need to be on you. Your focus needs to be on who God is, how precious his word is, what he's done for you in Christ, and your desperate need of him every day. When you focus on these things, you will want, you will desire, you will be eager to spend time with God in his word, to know him better, to love him more, and to grow more like him. Titus tells us in chapter 2 that it's the grace of God that makes us eager to do what is good. And it's definitely good to spend time with God in his word every day. We cannot look at daily Bible reading in a legalistic fashion or something to just check off of my to-do list. Time in the word will be as natural for the Christian as getting out of bed in the morning when our focus is on who God is and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. It can become as natural as daily eating, and reading the Word of God is daily feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word is sweeter than honey to those who've tasted the goodness of God. Look at 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. If we've tasted how great, how good the Lord is, we will crave after his word as a baby does milk. Of course, this desire for God's word and desire to be in it on a regular basis doesn't come through New Year's resolutions and willpower with unbiblical motives. This only can become a reality through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Knowing God's grace, understanding God's grace, believing God's grace, standing in God's grace, and resting in God's grace are all very strong and very compelling motivations to spend time with God in his word. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, you've heard me mention several times today that we need to know God better, we need to love him more, we need to grow more like him. And that's not just a memory device for you and me. That's the theme of Scripture. In the Bible, God tells us who he is. The Bible is God's self-revelation of himself to us. And in response to knowing him, we can't help but loving him. In response to knowing him and loving him, we cannot help but to grow more like him. Every morning, when I read the Bible, I always pray, God, help me to know you better. Help me to love you more. And help me to grow more like you. You see, the gospel's not only what saves us, church. The gospel is what grows us and sustains us to do what God has called us to do. We cannot approach the Bible as if it were just a book on morality, or just a book on biblical history, or just a book chock full of wisdom, or just a book with a bunch of healthy tips to help us to have a good life. The Bible is God's holy love letter of redemption for his people to be read, to be studied, to be meditated upon, to be prayed over, and to be applied to our lives. God and his word truly are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. The word of God was a daily priority for Joshua. Look at Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. The word of God was a daily priority for King David. Look at Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The word of God was a daily priority for the Berean believers. Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And listen to the priority that King Jesus placed on the word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We eat food every day, some of us too much. We must feed spiritually on God's word every day. For us to grow more like Christ, we must grow in knowledge, we must grow in grace, and thirdly, we must grow in God's glory. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Our motive for growing must be for God's glory. If we read the Bible just to get a bunch of knowledge, to impress ourselves and to impress others, that's not for God's glory. That's for our glory. If we read the Bible just thinking that we can somehow gain acceptance with God by reading his word, that's not for God's glory. That's for our glory. If we read the Bible thinking it will change all of our circumstances and life will become just peachy, good luck. But that's not for God's glory. That's for our glory. God will not share his glory with anyone. May we joyfully read his word every day to know him better, to love him more, and to grow more like him for his glory, not ours. Well, I'm going to give you some practical tips to help you in your daily time in the word. Number one, the first thing we need to do every day, as soon as we awake, before our feet hit the floor, is to thank God for who he is. To thank him for what Jesus Christ has done for us through the gospel. The gospel provides the passion, the motivation, and the power for wanting to spend time with God. Number two, remember that you're not just reading a book. You're spending time with the author of the book, the one who created you, the one who redeemed you if you're in Christ, and the one who grows you and sustains you. Number three, set aside 15 to 20 minutes a day at a specific time that you will not substitute anything else for. Number four, before you start reading, just simply pray. Lord, help me to understand your word and help me to apply it to my life. Number five, if you're not currently reading through the Bible every day right now, start with the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. Read a chapter a day. When you finish that book, go back to Matthew. Read a chapter a day throughout the whole New Testament. Then go to Genesis and read the whole Bible. You can do this. I know of a 12-year-old in this congregation who has read the New Testament at least twice, if not three times, and has read through the entire Bible. You can do this. Number six, as you read, think about what the word's saying. How can you apply it very specifically to your life and what's going on in your life? Pray over the word. Many people find it helpful to journal thoughts as they study the word of God. Number seven, have someone in your family or your life group or another mature Christian hold you accountable to daily time in the word. And a little hint about accountability. If you truly want to be held accountable, you will contact the person holding you accountable. You won't just wait for them to contact you. Number eight, be dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to help you persevere in reading the Word. Don't depend on human willpower. And when you struggle to persevere, remember how Jesus persevered for you by going to the cross to die for your sins. And then number 9, if you still struggle, contact one of the elders here to help you. And we better be doing this ourselves every day. But we want you, more than anything, what we want for you is for you to know God better, for you to love Him more, and for you to grow more like Him. In Psalm 73:25, David wrote, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." My prayer for all of us is that we will see God as David did in Psalm 73. There is nothing or no one to be desired more than God. When we see God as the treasure that He is, we will see His Word as more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. And when we see His Word as more precious than gold and sweeter than honey, then we will daily desire to know God better, to love Him more, and to grow more like Him. Isaiah 40, verse 7 says that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Father, what an undeserved privilege it is to have your word. Father, help us to see how blessed we are here in America. The Word of God is everywhere. And to whom much is given, much will be required. Father, help us to rest in the gospel, to preach the gospel to ourselves every morning, that we would run to you, to spend time with you in prayer, and to spend time with you in your word, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.